Greetings. Welcome to the Reggae Rise Up Florida 2024 Rewind Edition of the Talking Reggae Podcast. As always, I am Jay of Street Level Uprising, and I got the chance to go to my first Reggae Rise Up Festival this past weekend in St. Petersburg, Florida. This was special for me because I don't normally get to go to music festivals unless I'm performing at them. But the good folks at Reggae Rise Up were kind enough to give me a media pass so that I could cover it for Talking Reggae. I know there's a lot of you who went there, and there's even more people who weren't able to, and I thought it would be cool to cover the festival, give a recap of what's going on there. And I can also say that I was able to talk to some artists about appearing on Talking Reggae, so I'm very excited about some of the guests that I hope to be able to bring you in the near future. But for now, let's jump right on into this. So I'm going to run down a lot of the bands that impressed me, and I can tell you that from me, you're always going to get an honest review of artists. Now, maybe I omit some things sometimes if there's an artist that didn't have a good performance or you know, an artist I don't particularly care for some reason. I don't like bad-mouthing people. I don't like bad-mouthing artists. And, you know, I guess the way I figure it is if there's someone I want to recommend to you, I will. If there's someone I don't want to recommend to you, then, you know, I might just skip over that and let you find out for yourself because. Just because I'm not into something doesn't mean that you won't be. But even though I might skip over some things sometimes, you can still trust me when I tell you I did like something. There's two reasons for that. Number one, I don't fanboy on anybody, okay? Not the type. Part of my entire ethos as a human being is that I'm no better than you and you're no better than me, and that goes along with artists, bands, etc., etc. We're all human, and no person is above or beneath anyone else. So I don't fanboy on anyone, even if I love their music, because I don't put anybody on a pedestal. We're all in this together. The other reason you can trust me is that, I've been honest about this in the past, a lot of modern reggae bands, which make up the majority of festivals like Reggae Rise Up, are just not artists that I listen to very often. You know, I'm an old school cat. I love roots reggae. I love 90s dance hall. And though I do like a lot of reggae artists that have come out in the last 20 years or so, there's a lot that I just don't listen to regularly. So that's the other reason you can trust me, because I'm not just listening and loving every band that comes along. So as I give you these reviews of a lot of these bands, and also just because I skip over some, I'm not going to comment on every single band, I'm going to comment on a lot. And just because I skip over some doesn't mean that I don't like them or they weren't good. I really just wanted to point out some ones that hit me in a particular way that I really dug. So that's what I'm going to talk about now, and I'm going to go in order of the weekend. Now, I wasn't there on Thursday, wasn't able to get in there until late Thursday night, so I missed Thursday. So unfortunately, I can't comment on any of those bands. But starting off with Saturday, first artist I really took note of was Ellie Mack. Really dug Ellie Mack. She and her band put out great energy in their set, so Ellie Mack was great. Really dug that. It was a great artist for me to get into the groove to early on that Friday afternoon. Went over to the other stage, checked out Lila IK. She was amazing too. Real soulful, like real soulful, laid back, a lot of, you know, groove. So much groove in what she was doing, what her band was doing. Like a heavy R&B feel in her music. Great performers. And really, everyone this weekend was, the performers were all great. There was no one that I was like, this is boring. Okay, none of them, not a single band. But really good groove, really good flow to her set. So Lila IK was incredible. Kali Buds, one of the artists I hadn't seen that I really wanted to see at this festival was Kali Buds. Kali Buds was great. Just a solid. I'm going to use this term a lot. I'm going to use this term solid. This is not a derogatory word. How I use the word solid, checking out other bands, that word solid, tight, that's a big deal for me. That's a big compliment. Solid like a foundation. And Kali's band was solid, tight. He played some tunes I really wanted to hear. I'm sure he plays Love and Reggae all the time, but that's such a good tune to get the crowd going. And he played Tomorrow's Another Day, which I was really happy with. I first became aware of Kali Buds when he released Tomorrow's Another Day. I want to say that was back in 2007. That's how long I've been checking out Kali Buds. So I really dug hearing that. I didn't go in with any preconceptions about tunes he was going to play, but I really dug that he played Tomorrow's Another Day, so I was happy about that. That's a great tune. Always loved that tune. Another artist I was really, really, really looking forward to that I hadn't seen before was Protégé. Protégé was unbelievable. To me, one of the highlights of the weekend. Protégé was great. It was great seeing him. Protégé really went out of his way to big up the American reggae scene and the things that are going on here. His set was unbelievable. He's so incredibly talented, and I got to give it up to all of the solo artists that were there, because they all had great bands backing them up, and man, Protégé was no exception. So then, deeper into Friday night, got to see Soja again. I hadn't seen them in, I don't know how long. Last time I saw them was at the Granada in Lawrence, Kansas, when I used to live there. It's probably been 6-7 years now, maybe. Can't really remember, but just as good as always. I tell you, I'm going to keep using this word, solid. Solid, solid set from them. Same with Revolution. Seeing Soja on Revolution is like consistent. And that's also not another word I'm using derogatorily. Consistent. You always know what you're going to get from Soja. You always know what you're going to get from Revolution. It's going to be solid every single time. These are not bands that you're going to see them and they're going to have bad shows. I hope I'm not jinxing them now. But they're always going to have good shows. And every time you see them, they're going to be like, yeah, they were just as good as last time. And they're going to be just as good next time. I dug that Soja, the set that they played is not a set that I heard from them last time I saw them. You know, there's always going to be a couple tunes that are in common, or even more when you see bands more than once. But the set was a little different, not only from what I'd seen from them when I went to see them live, but also tour videos, festival videos that they've been posting online over the past several years. It was a really cool set. Really got to hear some tunes I'd never heard them play live, so that was cool. Of course, it's also the first time I've seen them since they put out their latest album, but yeah, whatever. Revolution, like I said, just solid, man. Like, you're never going to have a bad time at a Revolution show. You're not going to walk away feeling like, oh, they phoned it in. Just a great set. And full of hits, full of tunes everybody wants to hear. You know, these bands really know their audience, and they find a way to balance the tunes that people have heard and love, and also some things that maybe people haven't seen before. You know, these bands know people who go to see them. There's a pretty fair chance it's not their first time seeing them, and they know people don't want to hear the same tunes over and over. You go see a band 10 times, you don't want to hear the same tunes every time, right? So there's always some good stuff in there for the people who want to hear the hits, and there's stuff in there for people who want to hear maybe some older stuff or some deep cuts. And that was a theme of Friday night and Saturday night, which I'm going to talk about in a little bit. So that was Friday night. Going into Saturday, I was impressed with K-Bong and Johnny Cosmic. Lots of energy coming from them. And just fun. Just like, if you just want to have a good time and just enjoy the day and enjoy the music, K-Bong and Johnny Cosmic are going to do that pretty much as well as anyone. Just a good vibes, good times. Bumpin' Uglies, I caught them on the Sugar Shack stage, which was really cool. They had three stages there. The Rise Up stage, the Vibe stage, which is a little smaller, and then Sugar Shack was out there representing with a little small stage in the middle. And they had some bands do some acoustic sets throughout the 3 days. Now, sometimes you'd have to make some choices. Like, you can't see, you know, two bands were playing at once, so you couldn't see them both, or maybe you had to catch piece of one, piece of another. And I was basically bouncing between all three stages all weekend. I didn't see a whole lot of complete sets by any bands because I was moving so much. I wanted to catch as much as I could. I made it a point to try to catch a piece of every single band Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I managed to do that. So I caught Bumpin' Uglies on the Sugar Shack stage. That was great. They played a great set. Lots of people there. They might have had the biggest crowd at the Sugar Shack stage for the weekend. Really great set by Bumpin' Uglies. Deeper into Saturday, I caught Iration for the first time. I was impressed with Iration. I was really impressed with them. You know, since I'm not as familiar with some of these bands, the Cali bands, being a roots guy, like I said, a lot of times I rely on things I hear from people. And I do check out these bands. I do listen to these bands. But not being as deep into them because I'm not a regular listener, a lot of times I have to rely on, you know, suggestions, comments, recommendations from people in the reggae scene. And Iration, especially over the past several years, like, I've heard mixed things about them. So I wanted to go in with an open mind and check them out live for my first time seeing, and I was super impressed with them. I thought they did a fantastic job. I thought they were a fantastic live band. They were tight, really everything you could want in a performance. So I was super impressed with them. Fortunate Youth on the Vibe stage Saturday night was another band I was really impressed with. I do dig that they have a bit more of a rootsy sound that I like. I've dug that about them. They just put everything into their performances, man. They just give it all they got. And it was a powerful, soulful performance by Fortunate Youth. Lots of energy and lots of fun. Just fun watching them. I love seeing a band that you know, man, they left it all out there. They put everything they had into it. I liken it to sports. Growing up playing sports, that's the same attitude I have on stage. I'm a team player, and I leave it all out there. If it's a 45-minute set, hour-long set, I'm exhausted when I'm done. And every band should be. I don't like, you know, sometimes you'll catch some bands that are just kind of standing there, not really giving their full energy. Fortunate Youth is not one of those bands. Fortunate Youth brings it, and it was a great performance, and I really enjoyed it. So Saturday night closed with Slightly Stupid. I mentioned them a minute ago. And like some of the other bands that weekend, some comments that I heard was like, wow, you know, I've seen them a lot, but they're playing some older stuff tonight. My bud Jerry, who was with us, was like, man, they're playing some older stuff. I'm really digging this because, if you, like I said, you know, if you see these bands over and over, a lot of times they're mostly playing newer stuff if they're touring on an album or something. So a lot of times you get newer stuff and the hits, maybe not a lot of older stuff or deep cuts. So, you know, them playing older tunes Saturday night really appealed to a lot of people. I heard that comment from several people about them and some other bands. So they did a great job closing out Saturday night. What can you say about Slightly Stupid? They've been doing this for like 30 years and they just seem to keep getting better. Moving on to Sunday, band that really caught my eye and my ear was Boostiv. They played on the Vibe stage during the day. Really dug them. So here's the thing about me and the music that I listen to. Now, if you've heard this podcast in the past, you know I lean towards conscious music and spiritual music. Lyrics, I should say. I guess the music itself can't be conscious, but lyrics, conscious, spiritual. I'm always going to lean towards that. I'm always going to show more love and respect to bands who do that. It is what it is. I make no bones about it, and I'm not sorry to say it. It's the truth. The other thing I really want to see from bands is something different. Something. Look, we're all using the same notes. We're all using the same English language here. These bands that write these tunes. I understand no one's going to come up with a new scale or new words that have never been used before, right? But something. Give me something. Give me something a little bit different. Give me a different vibe. Give me a different groove. Give me something that I can say, ooh, they don't sound like most other bands. There's a little bit different vibe to them. And I can say that about some of the bands at this festival or any festival. I can't say that about every band. You know, and I know it. If you get deep into bands, you can tell them apart. But you know that if there's bands that you're not getting deep into, they can start sounding real similar to other bands. Whether that's country music or certain types of rock or blues or bluegrass or whatever. If you're not deep into certain artists, you can really see the thread that unites them. And there's a lot of bands I could say that about, that they're good, great. They're great bands. Good singers, good performances, solid tunes, whatever. But they're real close in how they sound. Whether it's singers that sound alike or the way the music is performed, a lot of bands like that. Most bands are like that across every style of music. So I like seeing the ones that separate themselves by just having a different sound, whether it's intentional or just the way they are. I like that. I've always said about Street Level that we might not be anyone's favorite band, but we are going to sound different. And I don't even know if that's intentional or not. It's just that I can't sound like anyone else. Like, I'm terrible at cover tunes and, you know, we just kind of do our own thing. And it might sound a little different for better or for worse. Some people might say we sound too different. Back to Boostiv. This is my roundabout point on Boostiv. Boostiv has a different flavor. It's the way they sound, their vibe, the way they play. So I would recommend them to anyone who hasn't heard them. Check out Boostiv. You might dig them. I certainly do. I dug that the singer was using a lot of vocal effects, and I've seen a few singers in the past do this where they've got like a, a vocal effects box right next to them on stage, and they're messing with, you know, delay, echo, reverb, all that stuff, and little effects. I thought that was really cool. She does that almost the whole time. But anyway, they've just got a different vibe. They just have something that's a little different. So check out Boostive. Really dug them. Another band that really impressed me was Article Sound System, and for them, mostly the energy. They really bring the crowd into what they're doing. The crowd gets locked in, and you can just feel that energy going from the crowd to the stage, from the stage to the crowd. And it's a beautiful thing to see when you're at a show. You know, that's why we do this, right? That's why we perform live. That's why we go see bands live. It's the energy, right? Otherwise, just sit at home, save your money, and listen to them on Spotify. You're still going to dig the tunes. You're not going to have that human energy that's coming from all the people around you and the people that you're watching on stage. And the way the hair stands up on your arms when one of your favorite bands starts walking on stage and there's fog and lights and all that stuff. The Article really brought it. Very impressive. So back to the Vibe stage for Mike Love. I hadn't seen Mike Love before, and he's such a blast to watch. And it's like, you know, it's almost like if you tell someone, you know, there's this dude that's going to sit in the chair and do a bunch of looping stuff, and you're going to see his feet playing these pedals and stuff. And, you know, that doesn't sound exciting. But when you see him, when you're there vibing with him, when you're watching this set, it's fun. He's really great at what he does. Good songwriter. He's got it all down. And I'll tell you, I've seen other cats do looping. And I'm not always a big fan of looping. I'll tell you why. I'm going to break this. Like I said, you're always going to get honesty from me. I'm going to tell you why I'm not into looping, why I don't do looping, and why I'm normally not into other people doing looping. It's simple. It takes too damn long to get into the song. Hey, man, I'm there to hear the tune. I don't want to watch 3 minutes of some cat putting his loop together and then getting into the tune. I don't have patience for that. I have a hard time standing still, even at festivals. It suits me fine that I was bouncing back and forth all weekend between different bands. It suits me just fine because I just start getting the itch. I get the wanderlust. I want to wander around. I want to cover these bands as good as possible. But standing in the same place for 45 minutes or an hour is not an easy thing for me to do. So you're sitting there looping. You're taking 3 minutes to get into the tune. It's like, man, that can get to me. The difference for Mike Love is he does it better than anyone I've ever seen. And he also throws stuff in throughout the tune. He's moving his feet. He's working all those effects, all those pedals. And he's throwing in stuff. He's not just forming a loop and then singing over it while strumming the guitar. He's got all kinds of stuff going on while he's doing it. It's very impressive. I could never even hope to do that nearly as well as he does. I mean, it's just part of him now. It's just second nature to him now. So as impressed as I've ever been with anyone doing the looping thing and doing it well enough to hold my attention, which doesn't mean anything because who am I? My opinion don't matter. But I appreciate what he's able to bring to the looping game. Like I said, I would never do it. I can't do it. I don't think I would have the patience for it. And part of my whole thing is that I always want to be completely live, even if it's raw, even if it's just me and an acoustic guitar, which, you know, some people might find that boring and would rather hear the looping. That's totally cool, totally understandable. But for me, my vibe, I want to be raw and live all the time. I don't do looping. You will never see street level with backing tracks. If our horn players can't be there, we're going to hear the songs without the horn players. It's just the way it's going to be. We're not into backing tracks. We want everything live. You're paying to see Street Level Uprising, or even if you're not, we're going to be up there giving you something that has no pre-recording, no looping. Oh, baby, we like it raw. But having said all that, man, it was really cool seeing Mike Love do that. And it's because he's a master at it. I'll watch anybody who's a master at their thing. Even if it's not my thing, I'll watch it. Opera is not my thing. I'm going to go there and watch it if some masters are doing it. You know, Mike Love is a master at what he does. Getting deeper into Sunday. Now, I told you at the top, or you know if you've heard me before or know me, Roots is my thing. And as much as I enjoyed every single artist I saw, except for one, there was one artist I thought really didn't give a very good performance. I'm not going to mention that artist's name. Just going to say there was one that I couldn't vibe with. The drummer kept losing time. I mean, that cat was dropping time like it was on fire. Like he was leaving little piles of time all around the drum riser. The only thing I could really say about that artist was that the bass player was on point. The guitar player seemed like a little bit behind the groove. Anyway, it was only one artist I had a hard time vibing with. But everyone else was great. I mean, even all these bands that I'm not into, I don't listen to regularly, they were tight. But I was waiting all weekend to get to the last three performers of Sunday night, starting with Burning Spear. I've been a Burning Spear fan for 30 years. I've never seen Burning Spear live. And man, I was right up front. I got to see Spear and his band do their thing. And despite some technical difficulties or some microphone issues that they were a little late getting to the stage because of some issues, the lead guitar player was having some problems with his rig that they finally got figured out like halfway through the set, I guess. But still, the energy was there and Spear was up there doing what Spear does. He was rocking those congas, that beautiful, rich baritone voice. He was up there dancing. You would think when cats start getting up there in age that, you know, oh, they'll just stand there, not do anything. Man, not Spear, not the cats that I listen to, not the performers that I go to see. Shoot, if Mick Jagger can do it, right? There's no excuse for any of us. But Spear brought it, man. It was unbelievable to finally see him. Then back to the vibe stage for my all-time favorite band, Steel Pulse. Now here's where things went sideways on me. I just said this is my all-time favorite band, Steel Pulse. Steel Pulse comes out, no David Hines, this singer, songwriter I've looked up to what feels like my whole life. He wasn't there. The band didn't say much, they just said wasn't there because of a technicality. I don't know what that means. All I can say is I hope he's healthy, hope he's okay. But I'm not going to pretend that I wasn't floored, shocked beyond words, to be waiting all weekend for my favorite band and David Hines isn't there. But I decided I'm going to stay for the entire set. I'm going to show Steel Pulse my support, just like everyone else in the crowd was doing by being there in a difficult time. Hey man, I thought playing a gig without our keyboard player, without Zate, one time a few years ago was rough. You know, Zate had someone pass away in the family, you know, a couple days before the show. Couldn't be there. We couldn't cancel the show either. So we played without a keyboard player, which was not ideal. It was not fun. It was nerve-wracking. I can't imagine having to play a show without an absolutely legendary singer. That's a legend up there. That's David Hines. This ain't just some guy that you could fill in. Sometimes there's bands you go, yeah, they got a fill-in singer, and you go, okay, no big deal. That's David Hines. So what did the band do? Selwyn, their legendary keyboard player, and David, the guitar player, lead guitar player, filled in the vocals, and they did a more than admirable job, as did the bass player, the horn players. Everyone picked up their game. You could tell that they all went, we got to pick up our game. We're without our front man. Without the guy who stood in the center of the stage for almost 50 years. We don't have him. We got to give this crowd a show. And they did. I can't tell you how much respect I felt and still feel for them, for what they did there. A lot of bands in their position, can't go on. We'll just take our non-refundable deposit, get back on the bus, go home. Not them. They said, nope, we're going to go out there and bring it. So major respect to them. They still put on a great show. They still played a lot of tunes everyone wanted to hear. I can't say enough about them. And now we come to the last band of the weekend, Damien and Steve Marley. This is a couple other artists who are going to be good every time. They're going to light up that stage every time with their energy. And I'll tell you what I really love about Damien Marley, man. Always high energy. He always brings it. There's nothing lazy. There's no phoning it in for Damien Marley. If he's on that stage, he is going to give you a great show. And Steve Marley is always on point too. His voice is always on point. They were an incredible way to end the weekend, which, you know, Reggae Rise Up knows what they're doing. They put them on to close out the weekend. If you got a four-day festival and you want to make sure people are there till the very last note, put Damien and Steve Marley at the very end of that festival. They put on an amazing show. I heard so many tunes I was hoping they would play. And I've probably seen them more than any other artists at the festival. I've seen Damien and Steve together and separately several times, and still felt like I was watching them for the first time because they were doing such an incredible job. So, all right, there's my recap of a lot of the artists who played Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Reggae Rise Up Florida 2024. They all did such a phenomenal job, and I can only hope to see them all again soon.
The Florida Groves Fest returns to Orlando, Florida, Saturday and Sunday, April 13th and 14th at the Central Florida Fairgrounds. Performances by Michael Fronte and Spearhead, Milky Chance, Tribal Seas, Atmosphere, 2 Feet, Boogie Trio, Manic Focus, and a whole lot more. The Tattoo and Cannabis Conventions return, along with skateboarding culture, glass blowing, and the new Shroom Street. For more information and tickets, it's floridagroves.com.
Okay, so you heard my artist recap. Now I'm going to talk about some of the other things I noticed at the festival. As with anything, any festival, any concert, there's always going to be something that you weren't crazy about. A lot of people complained about the sound on both stages. Some people also said that, you know, some of the artists weren't happy with it. Some people were talking about, you know, different things going on with the, there was one point, I forget who the band was, but the kick drum was just, it was really percussive. You weren't really getting the depth of the kick drum. It was just kind of a flat slap sound. Some people were complaining about too much bass. Other people were talking about some other things. So all in all, it seemed to me like a lot of people were disappointed with the sound. But, you know, think of how hard that is. First of all, it's outdoors. Oh, it's always beautiful being outdoors for a show, right? But it can present some challenges for the sound. So too does band change after band change for 4 days straight. One band get off, get the next band on, get them, you know. Bands aren't able to do full sound checks at festivals like this. Or some bands can, other bands can't. All kinds of things that can go wrong here. All things considered, there were no train wrecks at this festival. So whether you thought the sound was okay or not okay, nothing really bad happened. Now, all things considered, I think the festival staff did an incredible job. There were complaints about food prices, but look, food prices everywhere are high right now. And yeah, you're at a festival. You're kind of a captive audience if you want to eat. But I'll give them props because you could fill up your water bottles. You weren't forced to pay $10 every time you wanted a 12-ounce bottle of water. You could bring a bottle and fill up your water all day long. I give them major respect for that. And the atmosphere was amazing all weekend. There was no, I didn't hear about or witness any major fights, disturbances. There might have been a scuffle or two, but there usually are. Anytime alcohol's involved, you know, a few people dropped from drinking a little too much or dehydration. So hopefully they're all okay. Anybody who, you know, had some medical troubles there. But I don't think there were any major incidents. And the atmosphere and the response of the staff and security and all that, top notch. They did an excellent job. A few things I would change about the festival. Now, this is just me. This is my opinions. These aren't facts. These aren't, you know, people are getting hurt or this or that. This is just, you know, if I ruled the world, I have my own tastes. The distance between the stages was hard, especially with, you know, bands kind of overlapped. A lot of bands overlap by like 5 minutes. So sometimes it's physically impossible to watch a complete set from two bands that are, you know, one playing this stage and they overlap by 5 minutes with a band that goes on at the other stage. And it's, you know, a good 10-minute walk, maybe even more if the whole crowd is going like they would at night. The distance between the stages is a lot, but also, like, you know, what are you going to do? It's a park. Where are you going to put two different stages? They're probably where they need to be and, you know, just deal with it. They could put a few minutes between bands, but, you know, then you'd have to start the bands earlier because you can't go past 10 o'clock. This is downtown St. Pete. There are rules. There's noise ordinance. Got to be done by 10. So you'd have to start even earlier. So that creates problems too. My own personal taste, I would have a few more roots artists. I'm not against the Cali vibe, and I know the Cali vibe is what's most popular anyway. So your festival needs to be packed with those bands. It's the way it is, and that's all right. And for me personally, I'd have a few more roots artists in there. I'd have a little more variety of the reggae artists, maybe catch a couple international artists in there and all that, couple more from Europe or something. But, you know, I mean, the bottom line for everything is Reggae Rise Up They're not in the business of breaking unknown artists from overseas or unknown artists from even in the US. That's not what they do. They're there to bring you what you want to hear. I would also have a few more legacy artists or a few more Jamaican artists, although I know that there are problems there too. I've heard promoters complain that certain established artists from Jamaica or elsewhere, their fees are too high, or maybe there's visa problems sometimes. So again, this is just wishful thinking more than anything practical. I would love to have a few more legacy artists or legendary artists from Jamaica there too. And the last thing I'd say is there were a few bands there that I wouldn't consider reggae, a few artists I wouldn't consider reggae. Maybe they have a reggae tune or two, or maybe they're a hip-hop artist, and I get that they do fit the vibe. These artists all fit the festival vibe. There wasn't anything way out in left field like somebody put a death metal band in there. But for me personally, at a reggae festival, there are some eclectic festivals that I think are cool, and I love all different styles of music. I love eclectic music, but at a reggae festival like this, I personally would appreciate exclusively reggae bands. So again, that's just me. Doesn't detract from the festival, doesn't make it bad, doesn't mean anything. I'm just saying for my personal taste. And there were a few other people who, you know, some band would be on and someone would say, this isn't a reggae band, like what, you know, why are they here? So it's not just me that feels that way, but you know, that's just my vibe. Man, I dug this festival and I would definitely cover it again. I'd go to Maryland, I'd go to Vegas, I'd go to anywhere Reggae Rise Up is, because I loved it. I loved it. I loved that I got to hang out with friends in between running around and seeing these bands. I take this very seriously. Talking reggae doesn't make me any money. I don't make any money off this. Talking reggae is for artists to promote themselves. That's why I started this. Promote artists, to introduce fans into artists that they haven't heard. That's why I do this. I do this for the community. I do this because I love reggae music. There's nothing in this for me. But when I covered the festival, I covered it like I make a living off of this. Just like what I bring to every episode on here, I take this seriously. This means something to me. But even through all that, I was able to have fun. I was able to hang out with people I've only known from Facebook, you know? People that are part of the community that I don't get to see because they live in Alabama or Virginia or something. So I'm going to close now with some shout-outs. Shout-outs to Michelle and Jerry, who let me crash in their hotel room. I drove up, picked them up at the airport. They let me crash in their hotel room, and we hung out all weekend in our tiny little campsite under these palm trees to the right of the Rise Up stage. We had our little area in the shade that I could go watch a band, come back to the shade, take some notes, go to the other stage, come back to the shade, take some notes. And all the people that were set up around us, all great people. What a great family vibe, man. It's like you go to something like this, you end up with family you didn't even know you had, like strangers. Like strangers are cool at a place like this. And shout out to them and everybody I met. Shout out to my man, Jeremy Love, who stumbled onto talking reggae one day, reached out to me, and you know, we've been friends for a little while now. And I got to spend a lot of time with him over those 3 days. Shout out to my man, Derek, who I met. I'd known him from Facebook for a while, too, but got to meet him last year when my band played Flow Fest, and I kept seeing him all weekend here. So shout out to Derek. And tons of Facebook friends I finally got to meet. Jeannie Chamberlain, who talked to on Facebook a lot, even talked to her on the phone once, but when she was standing right in front of me, I didn't recognize her, which is just incredibly embarrassing for me. I don't know if you're like this. You see somebody on Facebook all the time, but when they're standing in front of you for the first time, it's like you've never seen them before. It's like, I don't know why, but for me, like Facebook doesn't translate to real life. It's not the same. Like people aren't real on Facebook and then they're real. And it's like, so sorry, Jeannie. And also somehow I missed some friends that some of them I knew were there. Some I didn't know were there and just didn't get to link up with them. And I blame myself for that entirely. Also, like my friend Pat Monahan of Soul Purpose 4. Sorry, brother. I just don't know how we didn't end up linking up. Tim Balahadja, who's been a guest on the Talking Reggae podcast, didn't get to link up with him like I hoped I would. My boy Mike McCollum, didn't get to hang out with him. So I blame myself. I hold myself entirely responsible. I'm sorry, everyone. Sometimes I think I was a little overwhelmed by the festival. There's a reason I don't go to festivals and big concerts much. It can be a little overwhelming for me to be around that many people. The little bit of social anxiety can kick in sometimes. And so sometimes it's kind of like I've got tunnel vision. So my apologies to anyone. I promise I'll do a much better job next time. And lastly, I'm going to go back to Michelle with my shout outs because Michelle made all this possible. And her mom, Mama B, thank you so much for everything you've done. So Michelle hit me up and said, "We're going to Reggae Rise Up. I got a room. Let's do this." Now, Michelle helps manage Street Level Uprising. She does a lot for me personally and for Street Level. She's gotten me a lot of the guests I've had on Talking Reggae. She's booked tours for me. She's doing a lot for Street Level Uprising. And she didn't stop. You know, she was there to have a good time, which she did. She was there to hang out with friends, which she did. But she's this beautiful, outgoing soul who cares about people genuinely, as much as anyone I've ever met. She's an unbelievable human being. And it was so kind of her to share this experience with me, bring me to this place. You know, like I said, her and Jerry took me into their hotel room and really made this a special weekend for me. And she is constantly promoting Street Level Uprising and Talking Reggae to everyone she meets. And she might have had 500 friends already there when she walked in this weekend, and she probably walked out with another 1,000. So huge shout out to Michelle. Huge thanks for everything she did for me this weekend, everything she always does for me and for anyone else who's ever crossed paths with her. And of course, huge thanks to the staff at Reggae Rise Up and the folks who granted me this media pass so that I could be there, come back home, and talk about it on Talking Reggae. That's all I have for this episode of Talking Reggae. I hope you enjoyed the Reggae Rise Up Florida 2024 Rewind. If you want to chat with me about the festival or about anything else going on in the world of reggae, holler at me at j@streetleveluprising.com. Look up Street Level Uprising on Facebook or Street Level J on Instagram, and we can link up. And like I said at the top, I do hope to bring you some artist interviews from some people I met. Not going to name names, but there's some names that you'd want to hear on this show. Some of the biggest names who performed at Reggae Rise Up. So that's all for now. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I love and appreciate everyone who is at this festival. Everyone who would ever want to be at a festival like this. That's my kind of people. We'll talk again soon. One love.
That sounded good.